As we read our sermon text, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Luke 11, verses 1 through 4, and that's found on page 1020 in the Pew Bible. And ask that you give attention as we read God's holy and inerrant inspired word. Luke chapter 11. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Amen. You may be seated. Sermon title this morning is, "Lord, teach us to pray." Amen. So even the title is a prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And so we're taking a little break from the series that we were doing on the I Ams of Jesus, which is a good series, but we also want to focus on prayer. And so we're going to have a few sermons on prayer. And I want to talk about the biblical prayer life, or the biblical prayer lifestyle. In other words, we need to learn how to pray like Jesus prayed. And we can't assume that we already know how to pray. Because when we assume that we know how to pray, that, okay, this prayer thing, I understand that, I've got it, okay, let's move on. When we have an attitude like that, we can't learn anything more than what we already know. And that's what is called unteachable. However, in this passage, we see a different attitude. We see a disciple observant. He was watching Jesus praying in a certain place, and he watched until he was finished, when he had ceased. So that was good. And then he asked a request, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And so there's much for us to learn about prayer if we are willing to go to Jesus, who is the master of prayer. Amen? Amen? And so, I want to encourage all of us to enroll in Christ's school of prayer. Amen? Amen. And so we start our enrollment with a prayer. And that prayer is, "Lord, teach us to pray." Let me hear you say it. "Lord, teach us to pray." Amen. Now, the biblical prayer life is when we begin to learn God's priorities, God's pattern for prayer, and God's purposes. And we see that in the Lord's Prayer. And we see maybe a corrective for our prayers, because our tendency when we pray, and I'm guilty of this too, our focus is on kind of me, 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 or us, us, us. But Jesus says, no, God, God, God. Three petitions. Focus on God first. Amen? And so we have, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then the other thing we realize is, for us to pray, our prayer life needs to be rooted in an intolerable burden for the cause of God to advance. We need an intolerable burden for God's purpose to advance irresistibly. We see that in Jesus' prayer, thy kingdom come. May your kingdom advance. I'm going to keep praying and asking for you to work so that your kingdom advances and so that your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of darkness is torn down and so the kingdom of God is established on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And so we need to have that intolerable burden for the cause of God to advance irresistibly. And then that burden is fed, because sometimes we have that burden for God's kingdom, God's righteousness to be displayed, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. So even there in Matthew 6:33, a good verse to commit to memory, you have God's purposes first, and then provision for us second. And so we pray according to those promises. Lord, I'm seeking to put your righteousness and your kingdom first. Please provide for those daily needs. And so our biblical prayer life is fed by an indomitable confidence or even hunger for the promises of God, and that those promises be fulfilled in our generation. Do you know the promises of God? Are you learning the promises of God? Are you praying the promises of God? We live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? If you're spiritually hungry, feed on the promises of God. Feed on his faithfulness. And then you will be able to continue to have the intolerable burden that the cause of Jesus Christ would advance irresistibly. What is the cause of Jesus Christ? Go, or as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Now, there's one imperative in that cause of Christ. The one imperative is make disciples. Make disciples. As you are going, that's how. And baptizing, that's how. And teaching to observe or do, that's how. But the one imperative there is make disciples. And so, how are we doing? Are we making disciples? And I need to ask myself, and I need to ask you all, when was the last time you shared the gospel and someone said, I get it. I'm a sinner. I need God's mercy. I need to cry out to God for mercy. Lord, save me. Based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Please receive me. Not I receive you, but please receive me. Because the important thing isn't that we receive God, that we accept Him as our personal Savior. It's really that God accepts us. Amen? Because He's the one who gets to decide. And so we cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen? And we plead with God according to His promises. All those who sincerely call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? And there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Amen? So let those promises feed you and be fed by that indomitable confidence in the promises of God. And then also we need to have an unconditional surrender. An unconditional surrender to pay the price, to do what it takes for God's cause to advance. And so there are two things that we need to do as Spirit-filled Christians. We need to pray and we need to evangelize. We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send out laborers into His harvest field and then be willing to go. Because the Lord says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Interesting. Isaiah chapter 6, who will go for us? Plurality of God, as well as the singularity of God. It's both, because our God is triune. He is one God, but He's also in three persons. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. Send me. And so there's an unconditional surrender to pay the price, to do what it takes for God's cause to advance. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pray the price? Because it involves lots and lots of prayer. And so I encourage us all to enroll in Christ's School of Prayer. With Christ in the School of Prayer. That's a book by Andrew Murray. And I encourage you to look it up and get a copy and read it and pray through it and underline it and be blessed by it. With Christ in the School of Prayer, Andrew Murray. Now that's just grade school. That's just the beginning. This is, and I hope, mothers and fathers, that you have taught your children to pray and that you have prayed with them, that you've prayed for them, that you've taught them the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer really is our ABCs, you know, the beginning point. And that's good. But you know, we need to move on and become mature in prayer. And so we want to go into secondary school. And secondary school, as it were, we read about it in Matthew chapter 15. The Canaanite woman, or as Mark has it, Mark 7, the Syrophoenician woman. And so the Lord, and this is beautiful, this is typical of Jesus, He uses someone outside, far off from the people of God, to teach the people of God a lesson in prayer. And so let's turn to Matthew, turn back to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. It says, Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre and Sidon, they were cities that were destroyed. But also, there was a widow from Zarephath in Sidon. Anybody remember that story? The widow Zarephath was visited by the prophet Elijah. Okay? So, Jesus is coming to a place that was outside the land of Israel. And it says that he withdrew. And so he withdrew to Sidon, and in Mark it says that he was trying to escape notice. And so by then Jesus had become very popular, very sought out. He had started preaching the gospel. He had been healing people, and so people were trying to find him and find help from him. And in this case, it says, behold, and let's not throw away the word behold. When the Bible says behold, we need to pay attention. Behold. Pay attention. Look and look again. Behold, a Canaanite woman. A woman not from Israel. From outside the commonwealth of the people of God. A Canaanite woman came out from that region. Interesting that it's came out, because that's the verb that's used when you talk about a demon coming out of someone. So there's some vocabulary there that we can practice in the Greek there. The Canaanite woman came out of that region and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demonized. Or the King James says, is vexed. Vexed sorely by a demon. And so prayer, in its essence, is just this. It's a cry for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. That's what prayer is, a cry for mercy. Prayer is not, I thank you, O God, that I'm not like those people. I do this and that and give tithes. No. Jesus says that man was praying to himself. But true prayer is, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Amen? So prayer, that's the first point. Prayer is a cry for mercy. There's that first cry for mercy. In other words, before you pray any prayer, the first prayer you need to pray to God is, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. But then, the next prayer and every other prayer after that is, Lord, have mercy on me. And please grant me repentance. Because the Lord, if we cherish sin in our heart, the Bible says, the Lord will not listen. Psalm 66, 18. And then if we turn a deaf ear to the law, Proverbs 19 says, our prayers are an abomination to the Lord. And so we don't want our prayers to be an abomination. We don't want sin to make a separation between us and God. Isaiah 59. And so we need to confess our sins If we confess our sins, and the idea is that we forsake them as well, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, to wash it away, to take it away. He came to undo the works of the evil one. Amen? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So prayer is a cry for mercy the first time and every time. And then prayer is also, this is number two, communion with God. Prayer is communion with God. Communion, fellowship, eating together. It takes time. Just like cultivating any relationship, to really cultivate a relationship, it takes time. Now, we talk sometimes about quality time. Yes, you need to have quality time, but you also need to have quantity time. You can't build and strengthen a relationship without spending time. And so this woman was willing to spend the time necessary. In verse 23, it says, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him. And so they were asking him again and again, send her away, for she is shouting out after us. Okay, so she's praying. She's calling out to the Lord. She's shouting out to the Lord again and again. She's spending some time. In Mark chapter 7, it says about her that in verse 26, it says, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. So she kept at it. She kept asking. She was persistent in her prayer. And so communion with God takes time and it takes persistence. But our problem is sometimes we give up too easily. Amen? Now, if you want to grow and you want to advance in any kind of skill, it takes time and it takes persistence. Amen? Now, if you want to play basketball, you can't just read about it and then watch a few YouTube videos on it and then become good at it. Can you? No, you cannot. You need to get out on the court and start shooting some baskets and spend lots of time. Free throws, layups, jump shots. I know about it. I don't know how to do it well, but I know that if you want to do it well, you have to spend time doing it. You have to persist at it. And it's the same thing with prayer. If you want to grow in the skill of prayer, it takes time. You have to spend time alone praying, and you have to spend time with God's people praying. Amen? And that's because prayer is personal, and it's also corporate. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order up my prayer to you and eagerly look up. Psalm 5. And then prayer is corporate. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so there's the promises regarding personal and corporate prayer. Prayer is personal and corporate. Prayer is communion with God. It takes time, but it's worth it. It leads to thanksgiving. It leads to praise. As you spend time in the throne room of God, as you see God, as you see his glory, as you commune with him, he says, you know what? I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who hears my voice and welcomes me in, I will come and dine with him and he with me. That's an invitation to the church for Jesus to come in and for him to have fellowship and have communion with us. And we need to take him up on his invitation. Amen? Prayer is communion with God. It leads to thanksgiving. It leads to praise. It leads to action. Because as we are filled up with the glory of God, we want to share what he's given. As we pray, Lord, please send out laborers into your harvest field so that your kingdom will advance. Then we're also motivated to get out there and talk to those ripe harvest fields. And so we pray, and then we evangelize. Amen? And then prayer is going from nothing to everything. Going from nothing, going from having zero, having no power, to having all power, because God, in a sense, goes to bat for you. Verse 25, Matthew 15, 25. But she came and began to bow down before him. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Prayer is a cry for help to the living God. Amen? And that's what she was doing. She was saying, help me, God. And she worshiped Jesus. She worshiped Jesus. Did Jesus reject her worship? No, don't worship me. I'm not God. No. He received it. Amen? Because he is God in the flesh. And so we who are powerless come to the one who has all power, all might. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. We go from nothing to everything. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And then Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Jesus also says, he who has my words, or if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It says whatever. Now we're going to ask for different things when we abide in Jesus. We're going to ask for things that work towards God's glory, that work towards God's kingdom, that work towards God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. But we need to ask big, right? And believe that he will answer. So prayer is a cry for mercy. Prayer is communion with God. It takes time. It takes perseverance, persistence. Prayer is going from nothing to everything, worshiping, asking God's help. And lastly, prayer is personal and corporate. And so I urge you today to enroll in Christ's school of prayer. Now, Jesus commends this woman's faith. He says, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. Why did Jesus commend her faith? Well, she had a very special faith. She had a humility. Because Jesus, again and again, it seems, is discouraging her. He answered her not a word. Now, who among us would keep going, not hearing? Some of us, I know I have at times given up too easily. But she kept asking. She kept asking. And then he said this. He said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? What, my dog? But this woman was humble, and she was willing to be concerned, called a dog. Am I willing to be counted a dog or a worm? That's language in Scripture too. Or a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord? Or the most stupid of men? Proverbs. Or a fool? Or a moron for Christ's sake? Paul considered himself that. Or the chief of sinners? That's Paul again. Or the least of all the saints? Or a bondservant of all, last in God's kingdom? Am I willing to be called that? No, I'm not to be second. I'm last. That I may gain Christ. Last and lowest in God's kingdom is better than outside the mercy of God. Amen? We need to be humble. But even in that, the woman saw mercy and grace. And so, in her cry for help, she cries to be included in the covenant of God. Amen? She says, yes, Lord. She doesn't disagree with the Lord. There's no pushback there. We can learn a lot in our prayers that way. No pushback. Okay, Lord. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You know, the children, you feed children. Now I'm feeding grandchildren. And, you know, they eat a little bit of the food, and then they start to play with it. And then they throw it on the floor. And then probably more of it ends on the floor than ends up in the belly. And you have to clean it up. Or when they finally get down on the floor, they start eating it from the floor. Right? I've raised three daughters. Now I'm looking at several grandchildren. And we can be that way sometimes with God's word and God's blessings. We have kind of a contempt for them sometimes. But to those who've never heard it, it's new. It's fresh. They have a hunger for it. And that's what was happening with this Gentile woman. And she knew that God is merciful and that he provides for his own, just like a good father provides for his children. But even so, those children aren't so careful about eating all that food, and some of it falls on the ground. There's crumbs. Even a crumb of mercy from Jesus is better than no mercy. Amen? God relates to his people according to his character, which is mercy, and his character, which is holiness, and his covenant. God is gathering a people for himself And he promises to be their God and that they will be his people. First, he did that with one nation, Israel. But now, the Israel of God, the church, is a people called out from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And so, thanks be to God and hallelujah to God that he is calling a people to himself. He is still calling a people to himself from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. And so praise the Lord that we see a sampling of the nations here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And so we cry out, Lord, please include me in your covenant. Please include me in your people. Please include my household in the covenant. And so we have the woman's prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is cruelly vexed, demonized. Please cast the demon out of her. And so Jesus, because of the woman's great faith, says, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once, healed from that hour. Mighty and awesome is the Lord Jesus Christ in healing, amen, and casting out demons and delivering people who are demonized. Jesus commends the woman's great faith. Why was it great? Because it stuck to Jesus like glue. And so that's what our faith needs to be like. Stick to Jesus like glue. Keep asking and keep believing that he's going to do it, that he's going to deliver, that he's going to save, that he's going to bring forgiveness, that he's going to bring repentance, that he's going to bring healing. And he will do it. Lord, teach us to pray like that. Amen. Give us grace to cry for mercy, to cry with persistence, to cry for help, to worship you, to cry to be included in your covenant. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Amen. Just one word after that, we are going to sing Jesus, Lord of Life and Glory. But before we do that, I want to encourage you, exhort you, to consider joining a prayer group. I'm going to be starting a small group. We're hoping to have at least four. And what we want to do is pray for a revival once a week for an hour. Now, this is apart from the Saturday morning prayer. Now, if some of you aren't able to come out Saturday, I encourage you to, if you're interested in joining a group of just a handful, four people or five, depending on how many the Lord leads out, to pray each week for 1 hour, for the Lord to revive us, to revive our church, and bring revival to the area. So I will be leading a group, and Laura will be leading a group. Laura would lead a group of women. And so if you're interested, come and talk to me. Come and talk to Laura, and we'll figure out a time to meet. So Laura, would you